What's going on, Cody? How you doing?
Doing good, my friend. How about you?
Doing great. I appreciate you jumping on. I'm joined by Cody Kimball, the founder of The Data Guy. And The Data Guy is a unique consulting firm, strongly rooted in highly technical data integration, if I recall, and analytics capabilities that not only enables strategic unlocks, but also within your go-to-market motion. So, today, I think we're going to talk about a lot of things around strategy, data, governance, and I'm hoping to jump right into, you know, where do you see RevOps and strategic partnerships versus, just say, a tactical view of revenue operations?
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to chatting with you. I'm sure there's a number of different ways in which we can take this, and we'll try to have like some coherent conversation. But RevOps is a really intriguing part of the industry right now, at least in my perspective, called biased or what. But given the economic circumstances we find ourselves in, you can see gone are the days that we are flush with capital, that investments are easy to come by, and we can kind of make some anecdotal decisions around the potential of a company and the growth and what we are hoping to accomplish and aspire towards. It's definitely become more intentional of a focus on like, all right, what is the viability of our business? Like, are we truly setting ourselves up for success? Do we have operational efficiencies in place? Or what can we do to kind of be more mindful of the budget that we have acquired and utilize our resources to their fullest potential? And that's where I see RevOps jumping in and being that crucial cog and strategic partner on how do we leverage the resources we have, whether that's systems, the people, the processes, to ensure that we are getting the most of out of our go-to-market motion, as opposed to, hey, you are a task taker. We just want you to go and perform XYZ, and we'll figure out the pros and cons, you know, in the future. So RevOps, I think, is truly going to be that enabler and strategic partner for years to come.
So I'm curious, when a client is engaging with you and they're looking for an operational unlock in terms of productivity gains, what's the first thing that they're looking at? And what's the non-obvious thing that you end up bringing up throughout the course of a project that you realize, you know, you didn't engage me for these services, but here's something that I think would tremendously unlock some value for you as a client?
Yeah. Oftentimes, as you are in that small, medium-sized business, at least the clients that I've worked with and that our company has partnered with, there's been sort of your early adopters or your early personnel that have essentially driven what your ICP looks like. They have codified what TAM looks like. And, you know, for better or for worse, no one has really questioned it. It has at least worked enough that you've grown, that revenue is meeting certain targets and thresholds. And so everyone sort of has bought into what has been conveyed to them around ICP and TAM. Now, where we come in is as a fresh perspective, let's unlock access to insights and data that you didn't have before. Let's find some automated ways to drive functional intelligence so that you can have this dynamic experience around like, well, is our ICP changing? What's evolving? Like, who are not only like our ideal customers, but who are those ideal in-market customers, those that can actually execute on the offerings that our company is putting out into the industry or out into the market? And so being able to not just tactically write some type of system integration or some type of lead scoring and routing, but like bringing in data so that it can help to change the way that you are going to market.
I often find, you know, the first startup that I ever joined, they joined them at sub 10 million and we had grown to 70 million. And we saw that our cost of acquisition was low actually in the beginning years and then started to spike. And one of the reasons we saw for that was that our win rates were starting to decline. And when we listened to the calls and we spoke with the reps, we started to realize that a lot of the low hanging fruit customers, the folks who wanted to take a bet or gamble on a young startup, basically we're running out of those doors to knock on. And now we had to go to the second tranche of customers that just didn't necessarily want to gamble on an experiment. They wanted to have proof that the company that they were working with had, you know, strong product foundation, strong economic background, and so they were looking for references, and we just weren't tooled or geared for that type of sale. And that's from a process perspective. From the data perspective, we saw it right away that our costs were ballooning, our win rates were going down. And the obvious question is, okay, well, do we double down on what we're doing, or do we need to transform? And the clearly right answer was to transform it, but we just didn't know how until we started interviewing across the org. So I'm curious if you've seen something similar with, you know, expansion of TAM or transformation of the persona that they're going after. How do you let them know that, hey, the data is telling us this, and here's the next steps that we believe that you can take in order to move to that next level?
Right. I mean, sometimes like you never want to harp on or hate on the existing CRM or sources in which people have established it as a source of truth for data. But I recently was at a conference where maybe this number is accurate, maybe it's more directionally accurate, but they said 60 to 70% of the time your CRM data is crap. It's just garbage in, garbage out, and you may try to build some reporting on it to augment maybe some insights that you've gleaned over the years, maybe some beliefs that you've held true to how you are targeting the market. But over time, there's a large possibility that what you have been leveraging and been accustomed to utilizing as like your guide may not be accurate. And so we try to bring in that fresh perspective, leveraging even platforms. There's one that I've been very fond of lately. It's called Clozd, Clozd, where they are able to step beyond the boundaries of what your CRM encompasses and say, we are going to bring in fresh perspective. Let's try to marry this with what we have acquired thus far and find out what really is our true current day, like state of being. Like, what is the state of our business and how are we attacking the market? So as you mentioned, you know, your value add to current customers was no longer really sticking. And you had surpassed that threshold of maybe the small mid-size companies, and you're maybe on the brink of targeting enterprise customers. Well, it's a very different sale. It's a very different process. And until you have the right foundational pieces in place, the data to assist you in those efforts, it's going to be very difficult to attack the market effectively.
So I always thought that, you know, poor data comes from poor process, and surely a business model or any sort of algorithm is going to suffer from the garbage in, garbage out problem. And as soon as you put your data into the CRM, it's stale because the business moves faster than your CRM can move. And so what you need to do is, in my opinion, create, you know, thoughtful processes to help enable that. And so one of the things that I think we were hoping to, you know, go through today is the concept of a system record versus a source of truth. I'm curious, are those two different things? How do you define, you know, source of truth versus the system of record?
Right. So I like to think of those as two fundamentally different concepts. In my experience, some people try to utilize a system of record as a source of truth, and maybe we should define those properly. System of record, in my experience, is what is the lowest level of accuracy, or sorry, lowest level of data origination? You get to a point where data can be three levels removed from its originating source. And so how do you get to that origin as closely as possible? And that is your system of record. For let's say marketing data, they may have their marketing automation platform and where emails and leads are being managed, and that is their system of record. And then you may have on the other end of the spectrum your customer success team and what they're doing on the retention aspect and the product utilization. Like, what is their system of record? And you can have a variety of systems that are where your operations are taking place out of, where those that are closest to the customer are finding information, they're inputting it into their system that they manage. But a source of truth is, now that we are trying to be more cross-functionally aligned, what can we all point to and say, this is indicative of the state of our business? This is where our KPIs are going to be managed out of. And here's how we are going to report to the board. Here's what we are going to utilize in our RKOs. Here's what we are going to be putting on our customer 360 reviews. Like, we can all feel comfortable that this is a shared metric that is accurate. And that may take a little bit of data cleaning. It may take some ingenuity on how we are transforming data. This may be extracted into a warehouse, and there might be a little bit of coddling that goes into, here's some outliers, here's some trash data. We can prune it until we feel comfortable that this is what we feel is indicative of the business, but it's a few layers removed from the system of record. So why is that important to keep in mind? Well, when you think of operations, they need to be able to be agile and adjust rather quickly to the ever-evolving state of the business. You know, there's going to be fluidity around like the opportunities that are being managed. There's going to be a lot of dynamic or dynamicism, if that's even a word, around who are the contacts that we are working with. Maybe there's turnover with our account team. Maybe there's a variety of different changing factors. And those systems of record is something that needs to be accessible in an operational manner. And what I like to drive revenue operations towards is this concept of functional intelligence. How do you have intelligence embedded directly into your work streams so that you are aided and enabled to make the most informed decision in real time as possible, as opposed to sources of truth, which there might be some latency around the warehouse and how it extracts data. There may be some other impediments that prevent you from having real-time data, but it at the end of the day is clean, reliable, and everyone feels comfortable with. So there's that dichotomy that you have to keep in mind, but both have their value add.
So there's a lot to unpack there. While you were speaking, I was just trying to take some notes and abstract some takeaways. But the concept of a spectrum between, I think the system of record is the way you described, is on one side of the spectrum, and then the source of truth is on the probably on the other side of the spectrum. And there are quite a few dimensions in between. The first is the proximity to the knowledge source. And that's fine because you have multiple individuals who have different roles in the company, who have different parts of the customer journey. And so you might be talking to an existing customer, you might be working with someone else at the company for an expansion sale. Those two data points might be coming into two different systems. Second is the distance to one another. So a CSM data point versus the salesperson's data point, they might not be in the same place. Next, you might have to refine the data. I totally get that because you're next going to have to develop an analysis or insights with a presentation layer, wrapping up into what you call functional intelligence. I'm curious, when you think about functional intelligence, I think about that as on a go forward basis, but I'm thinking about how do you balance that with, you know, retroactive insights, right? Because when you go into the CRM and you're doing an analysis on the data, it's in the past for the most part, unless you're doing some sort of forecast. I'm curious how you think about combining functional intelligence versus, you know, retroactive insights.
Right. Yeah. In my experience, the retroactive insights are very helpful from a managerial and up perspective, where we need to take a 360 lens on what is working, what isn't working. Do we feel comfortable in the direction of our forecast, and are we on pace? And so there's things that we are comfortable with the implied latency around the data. Right. But when we're talking about that functional intelligence, as we were describing earlier, I like to think of it as I am better able to execute as quickly as possible with as much information as possible. You mentioned that proximity to the source of truth. Like, I absolutely love that, the way that you phrased that. So for instance, in at least in B2B SaaS, you have a lot of need to have a clean account management experience, but you're often going to be dealing with data quality issues upstream with leads that are coming in. Is this net new? Is this tied to an existing account? Is this potentially correlate or associated with an active opportunity? Are there already emails that are going out to this company, and are we flooding them too much? And so you want to be able to have the ability to quickly glean in real time, what all do we know about this inbound that we just received? Joe@apple.com. Okay, clearly we have corresponded with this person on a number of occasions. You know, in an ideal world, we can see that he was associated with a previous company. You have like a data structure that allows you to know we've already had a customer relationship with Joe at a previous customer. And now we can tailor our marketing content in a way that is not overly generic. We know enough about like the pros and cons of that account, what worked, what didn't, and then we can bubble up and say, okay, if we want to close this deal as quickly as possible, here are some insights that will help you to make a very intriguing offer as opposed to just our templatized sales offering. And so I want to change the culture so that those that are on the ground floor, those that are kind of more tactical in nature, are able to execute as though they were more of an informed strategic leader.
You know, I think the key difference is, you know, when you're a buyer, and you've probably been in a position before, you've had to buy technology or tooling. The difference in messaging from one sales rep to the other just shows me the level of preparation that, you know, the vendor who is going after my business has done on their end, right? Yep. I can tell when someone sends me a generic email because it literally just say something that is not, it's super obvious. And then there's someone else who might have listened to me on a podcast or read a post, and they glean that one insight. And it's that one insight that they use over and over and over in every single play that they ran across their entire book of business. And it's just that 1% difference that could probably lead to, you know, critical exponential outcomes for that individual seller. And imagine that's just not for one seller, but for an entire company. So I love the concept of you trying to create data insights that are not that at on the surface level seem like just random data points, but there's a line that ties it all together for a better offer, a better go-to-market executable playbook. And if companies can learn from that and do it at scale, I think that's a tremendously powerful advantage for any go-to-market organization.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you're just seeing the evidence that supports that theory as well with all these AI tools that are now being either embedded directly into the platforms being utilized or as a third-party add-on, but the intelligence potential is growing exponentially. And it's amazing to see those that are executing on it well versus those that maybe have not quite got there yet.
So I always ask this at the end of the show for all of my guests, you know, what's a moment of change or impact that you're particularly proud of? It could be either a professional or a personal example. I'm curious to hear from you as a moment of impact.
Yeah. You know, there was a point where ChatGPT was all the craze. And I remember, what was it, like that early October, November, when they had first opened up to the public, and then you had the paid offering. And there were moments that it felt cute. And then there was the moment that it felt powerful. I remember as I was trying to build playbooks basically for our little boutique shop around consulting, and to start seeing the LinkedIn response rate increase with senior management and board members that frankly were not interested. I'll just be honest, there was not a lot of reciprocated effort. And to start seeing those responses to ChatGPT powered outreach, that was very exciting, compelling. And then I started finding ways to use it as part of the development side as we built some web data connectors to do advanced Tableau reporting. So all of a sudden, it's just, it unlocked this potential that in theory I knew was there, but to see it in practice was very exciting.
That's cool. I always call that the toys to tools journey. If
The what?
starts off as a toy and ends up becoming a tool.
Yes,
Yeah,
absolutely.
so I love that. Thank you, Cody. So by the way, if folks who are interested in connecting with you can learn more about you, where can they engage with you and the data guy?
Yeah, so our website is getthedataguy.com. We have some offerings on there outlined, but feel free to reach out to me, Cody at getthedataguy.com. I'm happy to chat and find opportunities to partner and co-create with Possibility using technology and data.
Well, thanks again. You're a real one. Thanks, Cody.
I appreciate it, Jeff. Take care.